You're listening to Turkish Football Weekly, available on the World Football Daily Club podcast feed. If you're a member of World Football Daily, you can go to the site and stream the show anytime to your computer, mobile phone, or tablet without having to download or sync anything. If you're not a member of World Football Daily, just search World Football Daily Club podcast in the iTunes store and download the World Football Daily Club podcast feed for free. Enjoy the show. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Turkish Football Weekly for the week of February 20th, 2014. My name is Atta Dizdar, and returning to the podcast this week, after a week's absence, is Jeremy Chapman. Jeremy, how are things with you?
Well, Atta, they're not bad. Traveling for work, as I often do, so I'm in Vegas, of all places. Not a lot of soccer, it seems, going on out this way, but you can still find some people in the pubs watching the Champions League matches, which, where I am, kind of happen, you know, mid-morning. But it's so I feel a little bit farther away from the action than usual, mainly because of the time zones and that kind of thing. But how are things out your way?
Not too bad. I mean, we had that snowstorm last week, and everything's all being melted now in terms of the snow. So, well, you do know, I should warn you, you know what they say about Las Vegas, right?
Oh, and you mean about what happens in Las Vegas?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I won't tell you or the listeners anything about anything about what's transpired here in Vegas, definitely.
At least we'll tell people what has transpired in Turkey in terms of the Turkish Super League. Our Week 21 review of the results will start off with Friday and Saturday games. Friday's only results saw Rizespor beating Gaziantepspor 5-1, and Saturday's results saw Kayserispor beating Gençlerbirliği 1-0 at home, and a 2-2 draw between Karabükspor and Trabzonspor. Rizespor finally gets a win, which seems like forever, the first time since week 5, and it's only the second time they've scored more than 2 goals in a match this season. Ironically, the last time they did score was in week 3 against Gaziantepspor. They won that match 5-2. The goals here for Rizespor were scored by Leonard Kweke, Lomano Lualua, Libnan Abdi, and Deniz Kada getting 2 goals, while Haris Medunjanin getting the consolation goal for Gaziantepspor. If you didn't see Libnan Abdi's goal, please go and search that out because it was a wonderful goal. As for the Kayserispor Gençlerbirliği match, Paolo Moshe with the only goal there via a 78th-minute penalty. Gençlerbirliği losing 3 straight in the league now, while Kayserispor snaps a 7-league match winless skid. And as for the Karabükspor Trabzonspor match, Emre Gural got the scoring started for Trabzonspor in the 10th minute. 2 goals in around 2 minutes by Murat Akça and Michael Enoramo for Karabükspor, but Emre Gural scores the second goal of the game in the 87th minute to tie the match for Trabzonspor. Karabükspor has only lost once in the last 13 games, and Trabzonspor still have not won since the league resumed from its winter break. Now, this match was also the debut for Hamdi Mandirli as Trabzonspor manager. He was the interim manager, but that tag has now been removed. And if we take a look at these matches, Rizespor, well, after Rezat Çalınbay resigned last week, they come back against Gaziantepspor and get it done in a huge way, and perhaps the managerial effects of Sergen Yalçın may have worn off for Gaziantepspor there. Kayserispor, I mean, they needed a win against Gençlerbirliği. They got the win there, so they might have a little bit of hope in terms of escaping the relegation zone, but if we go to the rest of the results, that's probably not going to be the case. And as for Trabzonspor, I really don't understand why they haven't been able to get out of the gates in the second half. Obviously, they have not won since the resumption of the league. So with Juventus coming up, and we'll talk more about their Europa League round of 32 first leg match with Juventus later on in the podcast this week, it just seems as though that Trabzonspor is kind of in limbo. They just seem like they can't get going.
Yeah, I mean, looking at the highlights of this match, it seemed like there were a couple of penalty calls that could have been given their way, but weren't. And you know, I felt like Trabzonspor played like a winning team, and just didn't manage to get the win on the road. Trabzonspor's, I think they've only got one win on the road this season. That came against Kayserispor, whom they play next week at home. So Trabzonspor, not really a team known for getting those road victories. I felt like they could have gotten this one, but they were unlucky. And Karabükspor, you know, they played very well. This match looked like kind of a thriller. You know, I'm not totally worried for Trabzonspor, although I think their expectations for, you know, success in general in the season was somewhat higher than where they are right now, which is, you know, currently in ninth position. And then, you know, if I'd say something real quick about Rize and Gaziantepspor, I mean, you know, as you mentioned, Çaykur Rizespor, beat Antep 5-2 in Antep, you know, back in, week four, I think it was. And so, you know, we're not used to seeing Çaykur Rizespor get a victory, but they did get a very similar result the first time these two teams met up. And then, now looking at Kayserispor and Gençlerbirliği, you know, Gençlerbirliği, they've only scored in 3 of their 10 away matches this season. And this obviously was not one of those 3, seeing as they lost 1-0. But Gençlerbirliği, I mean, you're not going to win all the away games. You're not going to get them all to be, you know, drawn either. But you got to at least try to score in more than 30% of them. I think that's sort of a key struggle for them there. But this whole weekend, as we get to the rest of the results, I mean, it seems like it's full of surprises, just because we saw some of the poor teams actually get some decent results, despite kind of the trends. But if you compare them to the results from when these teams met up in week four, they're almost all the same. I mean, Karabük and Trabzonspor are slightly different because Trabzon got the win the first go around and this time they drew. But there are only two other matchups, I could say, that are like that, where it was a victory for one team the first time and then ended up as a draw. In no matchup was it like one team won the first leg and then the other team won this round. That didn't happen this weekend.
All right, and thank you for the correction, by the way. It was week four in which Rizespor beat Gaziantepspor 5-2. I made a mistake there in my format. However, the Liban Abdi goal, I will put that as my goal of the week. You know, I haven't had to mention that in a while, but...
Oh, the build-up to that goal was awesome, too. I mean, you just had like 3 or 4 really clever passes, you know, just like no-look passing and that kind of thing, and it just kind of made you think... You know, and it wasn't the goal that got the goal scoring started for Rizespor either. I mean, they were already really clicking as a team, so that was just beautiful to see. You kind of wonder, you know, if they maintain that kind of form, would they be able to, you know, get some better results against some of the other teams?
Well, let's move on to Sunday results then. Kayseri Erciyesspor beats Akhisarbelispor in the Manisa May 19th Stadium 2-0. Beşiktaş at home, playing in the Atatürk Olympic Stadium, beats Bursaspor 1-0. And Fenerbahçe at home, snapping a back-to-back losses on the road streak by beating Kasımpaşa 2-1. Edinho with 2 goals for Kayseri Erciyesspor as they snap an 8-league match winless skid. In the Beşiktaş-Bursaspor match, Ersan Gülüm got a direct red card in the 44th minute because of something he did to Renato Savelli of Bursaspor, but Hugo Almeida getting the job done there with a goal in the 72nd minute. And in perhaps the most politically charged matches of the weekend, Fenerbahçe getting it done against Kasımpaşa with goals from Emre Belözoğlu and Bekir Irtegün. Sanharib Malki getting the only goal for Kasımpaşa there. Nice run to set up the header goal by Malki, but Bekir Irtegün scoring the winner there. Kerem Şeraş got 2 yellow cards in the 42nd and 57th minutes to leave Kasımpaşa with 10 men for most of the second half. Kasımpaşa's winless streak now has hit 10 games. So looking at these, I mean, the Ersan Gülüm direct red card, I mean, it looks like he slides his hand, you know, I think he kind of took down Savelli in the box, and then Savelli kind of said, hey, maybe there should have been a penalty to the referee, and then, I mean, you see the play, and, you know, Gülüm was kind of like waving his finger at Savelli, and maybe gives him a little push, but Savelli goes down holding his face like a sack of potatoes, And, you know, for Fenerbahce, I know that they had a march to the stadium. There was, a lot of people, you know, the estimates vary, but I think it was in, the hundreds of thousands or something like that, that they marched to the stadium to protest the government, just supporting their team. And for Kasımpaşa, you know, they're always viewed as the Erdoğan team, if you will, because that is his home district. So Fenerbahçe, you know, snapping those back-to-back losses on the road, you know, people were kind of starting to doubt Fener could possibly get the job done against Kasımpaşa, but they do get the job done. But for Beşiktaş, even though they go down to 10 men, you know, they still get it done. And as for Kayseri Erciyesspor, it's a really interesting case as we go through the results that, spoiler alert, all the bottom four teams actually won this weekend.
Yeah. That, I mean, that obviously hasn't happened this season before. Back in week four, three of those teams got a win. But like I mentioned before, Kayserispor had gotten that draw in the first go-around with Gençler. But you're right, it was a very strange, you know, or it seems very strange at first glance that that the bottom teams were the ones really securing some of the wins. The middle of the table really suffered, you know, over the weekend. There are no good results for teams that are currently in the middle of the table.
What did you think about the Gülüm Direk red card?
You know, I'm sort of two minds about that. I mean, it was one of those typical situations where, you know, the player doesn't get the call and they kind of end up chasing after the referee, you know, after the no call to sort of argue his point. And you know, the player took him down, kind of trying to argue with him, like, hey, you don't have an argument. And there's you kind of see that sort of tussle. But then, you know, when the arm goes out, you know, it was a bit high and it kind of, I don't know, it seemed to get some contact, you know, with the poor fellow's, like, neck kind of. I mean, it looked like it was kind of a hit, but I don't think he intended it that way, you know. It seemed like a malicious kind of sort of card-earning stunt for me. But it was a really stupid way to go. I mean, Ersan Gülüm kind of had that look on his face, you know, when he saw the card pull out, like, you know, you've got to be kidding me. He was clearly shocked about that. So, yeah, I think Civelli really dressed it up a bit, right? As you were sort
of. Yeah,
I
think he did. He really, really did. And I don't know, it seems as though from the angle from League TV, it almost seems like Gülüm was like sliding his hand across his chest, but then Civelli goes down like he's holding his face or something like that.
Yeah, like, you know, but Gulum's hand starts to go across the chest, but it kind of goes up a bit and catches him in the neck, at least from what I saw. But, like, I mean, I think there was some, I think it might have been a little something there for me, but I would hear an argument that it wasn't really enough for a red card. I just wouldn't see the intent. But needless, and you know, in any case, a lot of calls went Beşiktaş's way through much of the later half of the second half. And then of course, they did come away with the victory anyway. I think if you look at the calls, good and bad, it kind of evens itself out. I mean, Bursaspor could have been given a penalty or maybe two. I think the bad calls kind of canceled themselves all out. But, right. You know, you kind of hope for just good calls. I think I wouldn't have given the red card, but I can kind of see how it happened.
All right. Anything else from Sunday that you wanted to speak about?
Nope. I guess not. Move on to Monday if you want.
Okay, then. So moving on to Monday's results. Elazığspor beats Konyaspor on the road 3-2. Eskişehirspor and Sivasspor played to a 2-2 draw, and that was the exact same result between Antalyaspor and Galatasaray. Elazığspor nearly blew a 2-0 lead as Deniz Yılmaz got penalties in the 9th and 45th minutes. He scored from those penalties, while Ömer Ali Şahiner and Mehmet Güven scoring in the 67th and 73rd minutes, respectively, for Konyaspor. Rodrigo Teo got the winning goal in stoppage time of the second half. Elazığspor have now won 4 out of the last 5 league matches. As for Eskişehirspor and Sivasspor, Henri Bienvenu and Aytaç Karas scoring the goals for Eskişehirspor there, while Atif Şeşu and Burhan Eşer scoring the goals for Sivasspor. Aytaç Karas' goal came in the 85th minute, tying the match for as Kyrspor in the waning moments of the game. And as for the Antalyaspor Galatasaray match, interestingly enough, both teams have met four times in both the league and cup competitions this season, and all of the matches have ended up in draws. Burak Yılmaz getting the scoring started in the 7th minute, while Tita and a Ceyhun Gusenem own goal in the first half are the goals for Antalyaspor, and Umut Bulut ties the game with a 86th-minute goal for Galatasaray. And it seems as though that Antalyaspor is probably going to rue the lost points more than Galatasaray. Okay, Galatasaray may have gotten a little bit further from the summit, if you will, in terms of this draw. But if we take a look at Antalyaspor, well, a little spoiler alert ahead, it looks as though they might be in the relegation dogfight sooner than they think. But it seems as though that this is kind of consistent with Galatasaray in terms of their home form is really, really good, but if you take a look at Galatasaray's road record, Galatasaray has a road record out of 11 matches with 3 wins, 6 draws, and 2 losses. Now, that might not sound so bad, but in terms of, you know, the wins, I mean, 3 wins out of 11, that's really nothing to really, you know, smile about. And for Elazığspor, you know, they're still climbing up the table, it seems. You know, they clawed out of the relegation zone last week, and now all of a sudden they might have the potential to go further up the table, but coming up on Monday as we're recording this, they've got a heck of a test ahead of them at home against Fenerbahce. But if we take a look at Monday's matches, I think Galatasaray is probably going to rue the lost points on the road, but Antalyaspor is probably going to have just as much ruining, if you will, in terms of the lost points, because they could have won this match and possibly get further away from the relegation zone.
Yeah, it did feel a little bit more from watching this game like Galatasaray got away with one a little bit. You know, it's oftentimes sort of the order that the goals come in kind of determine how you feel at the end, and I think a lot of Galatasaray fans, including myself, was sort of kind of prepared to take the loss at one point, but, you know, late equalizer, and it feels a little bit like a victory, you know, especially in a road game, as you pointed out. Galatasaray, you know, not their biggest strength, you know, when you compare them to Beşiktaş and Fenerbahce, and even Kasımpaşa's road record is quite strong, despite their loss to Fenerbahce on Sunday. But Galatasaray, they hold themselves to kind of a higher standard. You know, they're looking forward to playing Chelsea in the Champions League next week. They've got to be able to handle, you know, the likes of a team like Antalyaspor, which, as you mentioned, they're within a game of being in the relegation zone. They happen to be in 14th place. The lowest ranked team still in the Turkish Cup, by the way, is Antalyaspor. But that, I think there was plenty of disappointment to go around for both the Antalya and the Galatasaray fans, as you alluded to there. And what a thrilling victory for Elazığspor there in the death. They did get the victory the first time around, 2-0 to Konyaspor back in week 4, and so to kind of get that same result, 3 points on the road, for the return leg is pretty exciting for them, especially after their struggles. I mean, if you look at how many points they've scored, you know, you point out they've won 4 of the last 5 matches, right? If you look at the entire season before that, they won 3 games and drew 1. We're always looking for trends, right? And it's kind of hard to call this a trend, maybe, but Elazığspor will take whatever they can get, and things might be looking up for them. Certainly one of those teams to kind of watch, right?
Yeah. Let's get to the standings now after 21 matches. Fenerbahce leading the league with 47 points. Beşiktaş leapfrogs Galatasaray into second place. They have 42 points, while Galatasaray is in third with 41. Sivasspor is in fourth with 36 points, and Karabükspor rounds out the top 5 with 34 points. And if we take a look at the bottom 6, Gençlerbirliği has 24 points in 13th, Antalyaspor in 14th with 23 points. Elazığspor is in 15th with 22 points. Rizespor is in 16th with 21 points. And the Kayseri teams both have 16 points down at the bottom. Ergenekspor has the better goal differential between them and Kayserispor, with a goal differential of minus 17 compared with Kayserispor's minus 20. Fenerbahce had a 4-point gap coming in, but with Galatasaray's, you know, lost points on the road with that draw, they've kind of opened the gap between them and Galatasaray. And Beşiktaş is 5 points behind. They do leapfrog into second place. So Galatasaray, yeah, they, like we said earlier, you know, they might rue those lost points. But if you take a look at the bottom, I mean, Antalyaspor, they're only 2 points away from the drop zone. And considering, you know, Rizespor, I mean, who knows if that victory over Gaziantepspor could provide a spark for the rest of the way. Elazığspor is in fine form. And the Kayseri teams, you know, it's still really, really bad for them. Although the bottom four did get wins this weekend, but for Elazığspor, it's not going to get very easy, as I mentioned earlier. You know, for Kayserispor, it's not going to be easy because they've got to go to Trabzon. And as for Ergenekspor, you know, they're taking on a streaking Karabükspor. So Rizespor, you know, they have to go into Bursa, not a very easy task. It's all to play for down in the relegation zone. But, you know, you take a look at the top of the standings, Fener has kind of a comfortable lead, but, you know, that gap could be closer after this weekend.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, you'd think Fenerbahce could handle Elazığspor again like they did 4-0 back in week 5, but a couple of things stand out to me in the standings. One is Karabükspor. I mean, they're in their best position since week 5 in the table, currently in 5th, and it's no surprise when you kind of look at their form lately, right? They've only had one loss in their last 13 matches. I mean, it's crazy. You know, only Beşiktaş can boast a similar statistic. I think they're one loss in 15. But Karabükspor, they were down around 13th place in the standings 4 or 5 weeks in a row, and now they're 5th. They've really started on a pretty good streak, and you know, then they're obviously well within reach of European glory, you know, as they are currently in a Europa League spot. That's kind of exciting because, you know, back around this time of the first half of the season, you would just never have thought that that was going to happen for Karabükspor. So I think, and Konyaspor actually are in their highest position since week 5 as well. But that's because back then they were in, like, you know, down by the relegation zone, and now they're only in 11th place. Of course, Rizespor, you wonder when their slide's going to stop. You know, obviously the big win might set a trend for them. They haven't lost in 3 matches, which is pretty incredible for them. So they got the win against Bursaspor the first go around. Can they do it again? But this time on the road. That's a slightly taller order, but one which I think they're capable. All these teams, like, what we're really seeing now is that on a good day, if you catch even some of the worst teams, they can really impress you. I mean, it's just a matter of finding that consistency.
Right, and the week 22 schedule, Friday, the 21st of February, Bursaspor faces Rizespor. Saturday will feature 3 matches. Gaziantepspor hosting Akhisar Belediyespor, Kayseri Ergenekspor hosting Karabükspor, and in the obvious match of the week, Galatasaray hosting Beşiktaş. Sunday's matches will feature Gençlerbirliği hosting Konyaspor, Kasımpaşa hosting Sivasspor, Antalyaspor hosting Eskişehirspor, and Trabzonspor hosting Kayserispor. In Monday's only match, Elazığspor hosts Fenerbahçe. So the match of the week, we got a derby this weekend with Galatasaray and Beşiktaş, and that seems to be extra crucial now because if we're taking a look at Elazığspor against Fenerbahçe, you know, Fenerbahçe's road record is still pretty good, but, you know, we've seen that they've lost their last 3 road games in a row in the league, so there's not really a guarantee of victory there for Fener in terms of facing Elazığspor, especially going on the road again. And as for the Kasımpaşa-Sivasspor match, I mean, can Kasımpaşa break this slide? And, you know, Sivasspor, they're still wanting a European spot. You know, they're 4th in the standings, and, you know, although Kasımpaşa is hosting that match, Sivasspor has got some, you know, some pretty good scorers. I mean, Burhan Aşar, he's been on fire the last few weeks. Atif Şeşu's been scoring the goals. And then if you take a look at Ergenekspor against Karabükspor, you know, Ergenekspor, that's not going to be easy for them. You know, I've been keeping my eye on Michael Anaramo. You know, he's kind of like had a, you know, a resurrection, if you will. He didn't really have such a good time of it at Beşiktaş, but ever since he got loaned out to Karabükspor, he's been doing really well for himself. So I guess, you know, other than Galatasaray-Beşiktaş, and considering that Galatasaray does have to play Chelsea in the Champions League, you know, that's going to be really crucial for them, and this derby probably comes at a really bad time for them, perhaps. I mean, what else stands out to you?
Yeah, I think that's a good point about Galatasaray that you mentioned. You know, the thing that I was mentioning earlier about Trabzonspor, how they, you know, their only road victory of the season came against Kayserispor. Now they're going to get to host Kayserispor in Trabzon. So I think they'll find some much desired success in that matchup. I would definitely predict success for Trabzonspor there. That'll be one to watch. You know, if you're hoping for the Black Sea Storm to climb up the table a little bit, and you know, the derby, I mean, that's going to be crazy. But you know, there are a lot of really good chances for some upsets, right? I mean, obviously Elazığspor and Fenerbahce. You know, I'd really like to see how Karabükspor fares on the road, to see if they can keep their good streak going. Kasımpaşa and Sivasspor should be a pretty good matchup. It was a very close game the first time around, Kasımpaşa getting the road victory 2-1. But Kasımpaşa is actually the most backwards team in the league right now in terms of home and away records. They do much better on the road than they do at home. And that gap is sort of the biggest of any team in the seasons, you know, in the league, I mean. So you say, oh, home match for Kasımpaşa this time, and they took the road victory, but actually, you know, just based on how they performed home and away, you kind of expect maybe Sivasspor has just as good a chance, if not maybe even a slightly better chance, coming into Istanbul to play Kasımpaşa. So it's an exciting weekend all around, certainly not just because of the derby, but that's going to be a big highlight.
Yeah, and I forgot to mention, you know, Antalyaspor, you know, they've got their second straight home game, you know, playing Eskişehirspor. You know, Eskişehirspor, they do really well at home, but on the road, it's kind of a different story. So Antalyaspor, if they're going to get any chance to kind of have some breathing room in terms of the relegation dogfight, that's probably going to be where they're going to do it. Because if I take a look at Eskişehirspor's road record, out of 11 matches, they have 3 wins, 1 draw, and 7 losses. And if you look at Eskişehirspor's home record, they have 6 wins, 3 draws, and 1 loss. So obviously, there's a huge difference there between Eskişehirspor's home form and road form. So if Antalyaspor is going to get some breathing space in terms of the relegation fight, that's probably going to be the match that they're going to have to get it done.
Yeah, but I mean, overall, it, you know, just looking at the standings and you look at some of the recent games, I mean, Eskişehirspor really looks like the stronger team right now. And now, I guess it's also interesting that these couple of teams might face each other again in the Turkish Cup. So they're both Turkish Cup contenders. Perhaps watch that game if you want to get a little bit more insight into what might happen, you know, in the Turkish Cup. So that's kind of one other interesting element of that matchup, although I think the onus is really on Eskişehirspor to come away the victors, just given Antalyaspor's recent struggles. But that's enough about the league, in my opinion, unless you had anything else you wanted to say. You want to jump right into talking about European adventures?
Sure, and I do have to admit, I thought this match was actually next Thursday instead of earlier today as we were recording this, so let's do that. The first leg of the Europa League round of 32 got underway between Juventus and Trabzonspor, and in the Juventus Arena, the home team beats Trabzonspor 2-0. Juventus getting goals from Pablo Osvaldo in the 16th minute and Paul Pogba in second half stoppage time. Now, in the 71st minute, it could have been a completely different set of circumstances in this game because Ole Gunnar Solskjaer was thought to have scored, but what happened was there was a cross coming in from the left flank, and then Yusuf Erdogan got to the ball, but the ball was judged to have been out of bounds before the cross was made, and, well, if Adin's goals stood, well, then it could have been a much different story. However, Paul Pogba giving Juventus a little bit of breathing room against Trabzonspor, and, you know, from what I saw, you know, Trabzonspor, they weren't that bad against Juventus, you know, and I know Juventus kind of rude taking on another Turkish team after what happened with Galatasaray a few months back in terms of the whole potato field thing. However, it's not out of the realm of possibility for Trabzonspor to get it done. However, if Juventus does score a road goal in the Hüseyin Avni Aker Stadium, then I think that, you know, this tie will be pretty much over and done with. But it's not impossible for Trabzonspor, but everything hinges on what happens in the second leg.
Yeah, you look at some of the Champions League matches, and some of those well, several of those matchups are kind of already in the bag after the after just the first leg match, and I don't think it's quite the case for Trabzonspor. They definitely stand a chance, and especially if they play in their top form. Like you said, they played well on the road, unlucky to have not gotten that goal, that away goal counted, unlucky to have conceded another goal in stoppage time, surely. If the luck is sort of on their side and their performance stands the test, I guess, then you could see them, you know, perhaps winning 2-0 or something, taking it into extra time. But yeah, like you say, they're going to have to really defend well, because one away goal from Juve and suddenly Trabzonspor's got to score 4 goals. So yeah, I would say it'll be a tough task for Trabzonspor, but I think the match is still worth watching, surely, because there is definitely a chance for them, and well, hope that they can survive, given that we've only got one other team in Europe right now, and they've got to play Chelsea next week, so that'll be something else to watch. And yeah, it's getting late into the European kind of playoff season. We're in the round of 32 right now with Trabzonspor, and well, really hope they can survive to the round of 16, but it's getting pretty tough so far, as Juventus proved, you know, earlier today.
Right, and the Galatasaray Chelsea, the first leg is in Istanbul, correct?
Yes.
That's going to be interesting for Chelsea, but, you know, Jose Mourinho, I mean, he does have some familiarity with Galatasaray in terms of, you know, he faced them with Real Madrid last season in the Champions League, and, you know, for Galatasaray, that's a pretty tough task, because Chelsea, they're up there in the Premier League standings. They still got Mourinho down at the bench. He kind of does know Galatasaray pretty well. And for Roberto Mancini, obviously that 3-5-2 that he's been using, I think it looks more or less like a 3-4-1-2 to me. I mean, if he's going to put Drogba and Burak Yılmaz up front. So, I mean, it'll be interesting to see, because, you know, Galatasaray, their home form in the league has been really stellar, and you know, they'll definitely have the crowd behind them in terms of this match against Chelsea.
Well, imagine if Galatasaray comes off a victory against Beşiktaş over the weekend, right? On Saturday, you know, and like you said, their home performance, if they can get, you know, maybe even a decisive win against Beşiktaş, it is a tall order, because, you know, Beşiktaş, they're really at the top of their form, I think, and one loss in the last 15 matches for them. But if Galatasaray overcomes, then that would give them a huge boost of confidence going into playing Chelsea, and the impetus will really be with them to get a strong result there as well, so that they can kind of survive whatever thrashing they have to take back in London. So kind of similar to the Trabzon situation, it's one of those where you're like, keep the expectations low but the hopes high, and you know, I think we could all be really thrilled with some of the results next week.
We'll definitely have to be looking forward to those games, and we'll see what happens there. Let's take a look at the news going around the Turkish football world. Akhisar Belediyespor Kenan Özer has been suspended for the next 3 games for his direct red card seen in Akhisar Belediyespor's final Turkish Cup group stage match. Bursaspor has been handed a 1-match behind closed doors ban for fan misbehavior during their Turkish Cup group stage match against Akhisar Belediyespor, their final group stage match there. The PFDK specified that this was the club's 4th violation of such during Turkish club play. Now, I have heard that ban will take effect during their match against Rizespor in the league. Do not quote me on that, but we'll report on that next week. Eskişehirspor's Dede will be out for 3 weeks with a hamstring strain. Kayserispor have been handed a 1-match behind closed doors sanction for their 4th violation of fan misbehavior this season. Beşiktaş have been fined 150,000 Turkish lira for fan misbehavior in the Kasımpaşa Beşiktaş replay match. That is their 3rd violation of such this season. We mentioned Ersan Gülüm, his direct red card earlier. Beşiktaş's Ersan Gülüm has been suspended for the next 2 matches for his direct red card due to that whole scuffle with Renato Savelli at Bursaspor. And keeping with Beşiktaş, they have officially announced that their agreement with Kasımpaşa to rent out Recep Tayyip Erdoğan Stadium has officially been terminated, and Beşiktaş will play the rest of the club's home games for the rest of the season at the Atatürk Olympic Stadium. Really not much in terms of news to talk about. What stands out to you this week?
yeah, like you say, it's not too much going on, but man, you know, a little bit too much fan passion in some of these Turkish Cup matches, wouldn't you say? It seems like everybody's getting banned and repercussions for that kind of thing. I think it's kind of good news that Beşiktaş is going to play in Atatürk Olympic Stadium. A little bit less politically charged atmosphere, and you know, and it holds about five times as many people. So it's kind of nice to see the Olympic Stadium filled up, because we're not really used to seeing that. And so, you know, I think that's good news. Beşiktaş, I don't think they'll mind paying $150,000 for the fan misbehavior, because they totally got the result in that replay match against Kasımpaşa. And so maybe the fine doesn't hurt quite as much, just given that. I think that's interesting that Dede is going to be out for 3 weeks. You know, we're kind of highlighting these Eskişehirspor and Antalyaspor matchup this weekend, but also I took a closer look at the Turkish Cup matchup. I guess we don't have dates yet on the semifinal matches, but it will be Eskişehirspor and Antalyaspor facing each other in the semifinal of the Turkish Cup as well. So hopefully they can, for Eskişehirspor, they can get a result this weekend without Dede, so that when they have to play Antalyaspor in the semifinals, maybe they'll come with even more confidence, assuming he's back.
Sure, and the one thing about Atatürk Olympic Stadium, that although Beşiktaş, you know, they kind of have to do it because they're obviously, you know, we were talking about the political aspects of it, you know, Atatürk Olympic Stadium, you know, it's out in Nikitelli, it's basically out in the middle of nowhere, and, well, the acoustics of the stadium suck. I mean, there's still a running track, and, the acoustics isn't as good as to a proper stadium. I mean, Vodafone Arena is still getting built, and, you know, hopefully it'll be around by the start of next season or sometime into next season. But at this point, at least, probably every Beşiktaş fan is probably glad they don't have to go to Kasımpaşa, because, you know, obviously the whole hatred towards the prime minister and such. But other than that, there's really not much to talk about this week.
Yeah, there's so much to look forward to this weekend, and then especially next week, that we finally get to see Galatasaray, playing again in the Champions League. It's been quite a little hiatus, I guess you could say, since we last saw them, playing back in the group stages. I'm really, really excited about that.
All right, then. So that's going to do it for this edition of Turkish Football Weekly. Jeremy, thank you again for coming on.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Fun as always.
And we thank you for listening to Turkish Football Weekly this week. We will see you all next time.